Tonight, I want to talk about God's first things. God's first things. These are verses in the Bible where Jesus actually says, you need to do these things first. We've come out of revival. I hope that you were revived. I hope that you are revived. I hope that you will continue and not forget what has happened this week. But you know, the things that should be first in our lives are the things that God says should be first. And God, in His Word, will set all of our priorities. When you learn something, the first thing you hear, you remember. And the first time you try something, you learn. And we need to remember and we need to learn about all the things that God wants us to know. So tonight I want to share five quick things tonight on God's first things. The first one is seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says this. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this was in a passage where the disciples and the crowd were saying, hey, what's going to happen to us? How are we going to live? How are we going to... And there's a lot of stress today in our economy. There's a lot of stress in homes about where things are going to happen and how needs are going to be met. But you know, in God's mind, those things are very little. He's the creator of everything. He could just make, He can make water, wine out of water. He can make us new. And the real issue is, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. And so when God says that we should do something first, we ought to do it. See, in God's mind, Christ's mind, and it should be in our mind, there is nothing more important to the King than the kingdom. There's nothing more important to the King than the kingdom. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said the same thing. It should be our message. The kingdom of heaven is here now. And we're trying to promote the kingdom of heaven and trying to get people to join the kingdom of heaven, because that's the most important thing to the King of creation, to the King of kings and Lord of lords. Nothing is more important to the King than the kingdom. And the other thing that we need to understand, if we have the mind of Christ, is that nothing is more important to the kingdom than the King's reputation. Nothing's more important to the King than the King's reputation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, don't you think it's interesting that the very first message that Christ preached was how the kingdom of God should look? Because He wants people to get a good, clear picture of this. And it says, if you're a member of the kingdom of God, you are going to be pure in heart and meek and seeking and hungering and thirsting after righteousness and doing all those things, because that is a testimony. And our testimony reflects on Christ's testimony. You know, we say, well, don't go out and mess up the family name. You know something? That applies in a spiritual sense too. We should not go out and mess up the spiritual family name, because nothing's more important to the King than the kingdom. And nothing's more important to the progress of the kingdom or the expansion of the kingdom than the reputation of the King. And folks, when we don't keep our testimony up, we do a disservice to the kingdom of God. We need to walk worthy of the vocation of which we are called. See, and then here is a principle. If you honor the King's reputation, and you honor the kingdom, and when you do that, the king will provide. That's the context of this. The context of this passage is, you put God first and God will take care of you. You put yourself first and God's going to say, look, you're going to learn. You know, look at the Old Testament. Why didn't their fields produce crops? Why did the cankerworm come? Why did the locust come? Look at what happened to Egypt. They didn't put God, they didn't acknowledge God as God. And look at what happened to their country. And so, if we honor the king's reputation, and the king will provide. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So the bottom line is this. Nothing should be more important to us but God. He made us. He saves us. He empowers us. We should follow Him. We should focus on the new man. We should forget our old self and live a life victorious in Christ Jesus. But you know something? There's a but at the beginning of this. And that really means that we have a choice to make. The but means that we have some, don't necessarily mean us here tonight, but some people, I would say most people, have a problem with priorities. Okay? God told Moses, the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. David preached Friday night that one of the things that will stop a revival, or you can't have revival, is materialism. When you're looking at things or playing with things more than doing the work of God. You can't convince me if you say you're a Christian and you never come to church. You can't. Your priorities are messed up. Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As a matter of some is. Don't be that some. Don't be that some. So the first thing God wants us to get right here is that we first seek the kingdom. Thou shalt have no other gods before Him. God said, and you know something? There's one God's made everything, and then we make up our own gods. There is no substitute for the Creator of the universe. There is no salvation in any other. There is no Holy Spirit other than the one that God has given us. And so the first one is that we need to seek the kingdom of God. The second thing is, and we kind of get back in for this morning, is that we need to cleanse your inner man. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 26, it says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. See, religion or ritual tries to clean up the outside. Here is a fundamental truth. Once something's dirty, it can never be clean again in our ability. You can sterilize it, but you're not going to get rid of 100% of the germs. Look at what we're going through right now. You get some dirt on something, and you're never going to get all the dirt out. You know, it kind of sounds like sin. You know, once we get sin, you can try everything you can to get rid of your sin, but you're always going to fall short. You're never going to be clean perfectly. And see, that's what religion and ritual does. And if you find some more dirt, what do? You make another rule. And if you find another dirt, you're going to what? Make another rule. It won't work. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. He says, thou blind Pharisee. Blind to what? Blind to the spiritual truth. You can't clean yourself up. It's what's on the inside that counts. He says, first clean that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Religion or ritual tries to clean up on the outside, but it's going to be ineffective. Relationships will clean up the inside. Relationships will clean up the inside. See, with your spouse, it's an issue of love. It's an issue of the heart. With God, it's the same way. What God's saying here, what Christ is saying here, he said, you have a relationship with me. You cleanse my heart, O God, and what? Renew a what? A right spirit in me. You see, that's what we really need. Religion's not going to do it. Ritual's not going to do it. Relationships will. And do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior? That's the most important thing. Are you seeking? And if you are having a, if you do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then your priority should be the same as Christ, seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, not yours. Not yours. See, there are results of God cleansing your heart. The first one is that you'll see God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I just don't see God working in my life. Maybe you're not pure in heart. Maybe you've been trying to clean up all the spiritual dirt in your life and you're falling short. You know why? Because you need something bigger than you. You need God. So the first result of God cleansing your heart is that you will see God. The second result of God cleansing your heart is that you'll love God. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know what? If you're loving God with all your heart, there's nothing else in there. If you're loving God with all thy soul, there's nothing left in there. If you're loving God with all thy mind, there's nothing left. It's totally 100% sold out to God. That was the mind of Christ. That's what we should have. So results of God cleansing your heart is that you'll see God. You'll love God. And the last one is that you'll serve God. Samuel is reckoning with Israel because what they wanted is they wanted to look like the rest of the world and they wanted a king in their country. And Samuel says, well, that's really not God's perfect plan for you. And he tells them about the king and what the king's going to do. And say, hey, we want more of that. We want the king to tax us. We want the king to do all this stuff and take all of our stuff and make us servants and bond servants. Yeah, let's go into bondage, folks. They were a kingdom of priests. He said, no, we don't like this good stuff. We like to trade it for something else. You know, how many have ever had a good car and then you traded it on something you thought was better and it wound up be a lemon? And go, I wish I never had done that. I wish I had never done that. So Samuel is dealing with the nation of Israel here and he says this. He says, only fear the Lord. Now that's kind of like that all thing. Only fear the Lord. Our obligation is to fear or respect God. That's why he says, this will work if you only fear the Lord and not fear the king. And the king was supposed to what? only fear the Lord. And if everybody is fearing the Lord, then everybody is on right standing with God and on right standing with each other. He says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all my word. There's that word again. All your hearts, for consider how great things He hath done for you. See, later on, it was the king that led Israel into all these great victories. And God wasn't there. And what did they do? They forgot God. They turned into what they were before, in bondage. So the first thing is that we need to seek the kingdom of God. The second thing is that we need to cleanse your inner mind. The third thing is, remove hypocrisy from your life. Remove hypocrisy from... You need to get your mind right. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No one, as David said Friday night, no one can serve two masters. Because you're going to love one and hate the other. And so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, why do you think that Jesus is talking about hypocrites? Because He says so. He says, thou hypocrite. Once again, this is in that first sermon that Christ preached. And when Christ is preaching something, the very first time, you ought to listen to it. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote, or the little splinter, out of thy brother's eye. See, here's what will happen if you will remove hypocrisy out of your life. You will see clearly. See, when we're being hypocritical about our faith, we're being hypocritical about to ourselves, we don't see clearly. We're saying one thing and doing another. And so you will see clearly. And what this passage is talking about is you need to see clearly first before you have any ability to go help other people see clearly also. Because that's the second part. Once you can see clearly, then you can help others to see clearly. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. That's a tall order, folks. That means you need to be in right standing with God. That means you're seeking the kingdom of God. That means that your inner man is cleansed. That means that you're not in the same problem that the person you're trying to help is in. You're not in a judgmental spirit. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual... Not the ones that just say that they're a Christian, but the ones who actually live it. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know why? Because we've been in the same boat too. We're all sinners saved by grace. We need humility in our life. Pride has no part in a Christian's life. Christ was not proud, yet He was the creator of the universe. If there's anyone that could have been proud, it was Him. He says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering who? That person? No, considering yourself. Lest thou also be tempted. Tempted to do what? Tempted to do something that's not in accordance with God's will. Tempted to be a hypocrite. So the first thing we need to seek is the kingdom of God. The next thing we need to do is we need to clean the inside of the cup. The next thing we need to do is remove hypocrisy out of our life. Then the fourth thing is that we need to make reverence a family issue. Not only do we need to make reverence a family issue in our physical family, we need to make reverence an issue in our spiritual family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents or to help them financially, for that is good and acceptable before God." See, here's the deal. How we live is before God. What we do is before God. How we act is before God. See, respect is the foundation of all relationships. You can't have a relationship with Christ unless you're respecting for who He is and who you are. You can't respect your wife or your husband unless you see them for who they are. Kids, you can't respect your parents unless you can't have a relationship with your parents unless you respect them for who they are. And here is a troublesome thing. See, children follow the parents' lead. I just don't know why my kids don't go to church. Did you? Do you? I don't know why my kid never goes and studies the Bible. Do you? I don't know where he learned that language. I don't know where, and I've had parent after parent, I just don't understand what to do with my kids. And the issue is what kind of example did we set? In our church, folks, I just don't understand why these people don't come back. Because maybe we're not setting the example. Remember what we said this morning, that we're supposed to be an example in word and in charity and in faith and all these things. See, respect is a foundation of all relationships. Now, this is talking about kids taking care of their mom when the dad passes away. But we know that in the last days, children will be what? Disobedient parents. People will be all about themselves. And now kids want to see what they can get instead of what they can give. And that's really a sad, sad thing. You know, it's in the church too. The children of God want us to come to church to see what they can get instead of what they can give. We need to make reverence a family issue. See, respect creates right results. You're not going to do anything wrong to someone who you respect. And then the next thing is, right results please God, because it'll be done out of respect for Him. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, on these two commandments hang what? All the law. All the law. So we need to make reverence a family issue. We need to remove hypocrisy from your life. You need to cleanse the inside of the cup, the inner man. You need to seek the kingdom of God first. And then lastly, make righteous judgment here in the house of God. Here in the house of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" See, church, now's the time. We have been inactive too long. We have basically allowed things to come into God's house, into God's family, that shouldn't be here. And it has corrupted the church from the inside out. Not only do we need a cleansing of our own heart, we need to periodically have a cleansing of the church's heart. And each member of the church. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." There needs to be a fundamental change in the way we live. We need to go from darkness to light. Now is the time. Yesterday has passed. We can't go back. But tomorrow is another day. And we need to make a decision today so we will act right tomorrow. Now is the time. See, God's word and His will is the test. In John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There's none righteous, no, not one." So it's not the way we think. It's the way God says righteousness is. It's comparing it to this. It's praying about it. It's living in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. See, if we are right, you be right, and you will act right. You be right, and you will act right. So tonight, are God's first our priorities? Are we seeking the kingdom of God first? Are we more concerned about how we look to other people or how we look to God on the inside? Are we in our daily life being hypocritical because we're talking about people doing something when we're doing something else, or we're doing the exact same thing? Are we truly reverencing God and all things in our family? What kind of an example are we setting in our home? What kind of an example each and every one of us as members of this church are setting in the local family of God here? And then the next thing is, are we judging ourselves? Because if we judge ourselves, we should not be what? Judged. So tonight, consider what we've heard and let's live truth. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask that You be with this time of invitation. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight on the very first note, come, have them come forward, Lord. Convict them of the Holy Spirit that they need a Savior, and will show them from Your word how to get saved. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, are we doing these things? Are Your first our first? Do we make Him a priority in our life? And Father, if not, it's because of us. Lord, cleanse us. See if there be any wicked way in me or in us. And Lord, help us to confess that and have You cleanse us and make us clean in Your sight tonight. Father, let us not leave here without being more like You. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.